The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Well, greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Well, here we are. It's Memorial Day weekend in the U.S., the unofficial slash official start of summer. Probably more important, though, it is a three-day weekend. And if it's a three-day weekend, you know what that means. It's a chance to get caught up with our friend, the Golden Jackass himself, the great Jim Willie. He is, of course, the editor of the Hat Trick Letter, which can be found at goldenjackass.com. It's one of those things, I mean, it's just almost essential reading. Has been for years, and will continue to be going forward as, obviously, the situation remains volatile and intriguing. So anyway, my good buddy Jim, it's always fun to visit with you. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on. It's amazing that we moved to the next holiday without, you know, without the earth caving in or without the entire population keeling over from Agenda 21.
That's right. We're still here. And maybe by the time we get to the 4th of July, we'll still be. But anyway.
Well, I hope so. This is a very messy situation. I think this is the messiest global situation that we have ever encountered, and that includes 2000 with the tech telecom bust, that includes Black Monday for sure in 86, and it very much eclipses the Lehman event of subprime bonds in 2007 and 2008. Yeah. We are in extraordinarily dangerous ground where the dollar is facing, I don't like the word annihilation, I like the word retirement and dismantling.
Well, that was the direction I thought we would go. For everybody listening, I mean, yeah, the situation out there, whether you know, where you start scratching the surface of the EU banks and Deutsche Bank and the bond market and what the Fed is trying to do and what the ECB and all of, I mean, Jim and I obviously could sit here and talk about this stuff for hours, but unfortunately today we don't have hours. We have time really just to focus on one thing. And so I said, Jim, let's focus on the dollar. It has been soaring over the last 6 weeks, up with the dollar index up maybe 5%. Now, of course, that's just a measure of the U.S. dollar versus a bunch of other fiat, predominantly the euro. And the euro is going to the toilet the last 5 or 6 weeks with everything that's going on the continent and with the banks. So we don't want to get bogged down just in the minutiae of, you know, hey, the dollar's this and now it's overbought. I mean, I thought it'd be more compelling to just mainly just talk about the much bigger picture. Jim, you've been all over this for years. We talk about the Scheiss dollar, whether there might be a two-branded dollar, an international dollar versus domestic dollar. Again, these are big picture things. And I should point out, nobody, I don't know of anybody, that's sitting here, you know, rooting this on. Oh, hey, I can't wait for the dollar to collapse so that we can have civil war and social uprisings and, you know, mass death and poverty in the U.S. Nobody's rooting for that. We just all see that it, I mean, it's almost impossible not to see this coming as an eventuality. Every reserve currency kind of comes and goes. The U.S. has had that role now for 70 plus years, taking over from the pound sterling. And we're heading in the direction where we at least won't be the only reserve currency. We'll be considered a reserve currency, regional, whatever it's going to be, wherever we're headed. But anyway, in that big picture sense, I thought, well, let's take a half hour or so, pick the brain of the jackass, and just kind of see what he's thinking here in the middle of 2018. As you said, Jim, it's a, gosh, there's a lot going on under the surface. And from there, I'll just let you tell us what's on your plate.
Well, with respect to what? Try to give me a...
Well,
a little direction here.
In terms of maybe not so much, you know, what's the dollar going to do Tuesday, but just how things continue to adapt and evolve with Forex, with the dollar's role. And you know, obviously, we, I guess, kind of segue that into what it means. But I just, where are we in terms of, you know, what you're seeing with the increasing role of the RMB? You know, the news we had this week about the London Metals Exchange beginning yuan-denominated contracts for commodities. That seems like just another piece of the foundation that's being laid. So anyway, what's your status update for all this stuff at this point?
I think we're well along in what you call and what others call the de-dollarization. A very significant event was a couple months ago when the gold oil RMB triangle of futures contracts was set up in Shanghai. I regard that as the biggest financial event in a generation. I've said this a few different times. It is the formal structural foundation system for removing in the dominant position the petrodollar. Okay, in the petrodollar, it's really kind of simple in its structure. You want to buy a tanker full of oil or whatever type of vessel for natural gas, or you're getting a delivery from a pipeline of some sort, the energy payment is always in treasury bills, always dollar-denominated treasury bills. Okay, if you want to buy grain, you want to buy coal, you want to buy lumber, or you have a big international contract for, you know, IT system installation for multi-years, the contracts are almost always in dollars and payments are in dollars. That is going away. The global payment monopoly for the dollar is going away, leading with oil making the change. Okay, this gold oil RMB is being called the GOR Shanghai Triangle of Futures Contract, gold oil RMB, GOR. GOR rolls off the tongue a lot more easily, and it's going to probably get traction as a, you know, a term.
Yeah.
You know, we need more acronyms, you know. Okay, there are two very important things related to the Shanghai. I said it's the most important financial event in a generation, and I stick with that. And you're going to see it in spades. The first thing that's going to happen is already written. It's just a matter of having it announced, analyzed, dissected, boldly stated on a podium, and lots of different press reports. That's all that's lacking now, because the decisions are made. And that is, the Chinese are going to buy Saudi oil and pay in RMB. When that happens, you're going to see the other Gulf Arab nations sell China energy generally. I mean, Oman and Qatar already are using RMB. It's going to be a parade. They're all going to look for that market share preservation. They're not, in other words, they're not going to allow Saudis to take RMB for oil payments with China and take a little bit of market share from each of their Arab friends, neighbors in the Gulf. They're not going to do that. They're all going to do that. Now, that's the seller side. On the buyer side, you're going to see maybe Korea, maybe a couple of other countries, and perhaps even Japan. Japan is very feisty these days. And if you read some of the more, oh gosh, obscure reports from below the surface or, you know, up in the stratosphere, whichever image you prefer, the more ultra elite battles going on, Japan is losing its connection to the ugliest, dirtiest side of the United States government. Okay, so what happens if Japan announces they're going to buy Saudi oil and Arab oil in RMB?
Whew.
Yeah, that's just so big. Now, apart from the Arab core of OPEC, they're all defecting. I'm talking about Nigeria, Angola, Venezuela. There's not a loyal one in the bunch, and they're all signing up with Russian Rosneft, which is creating what I've called before. We mentioned this back in, Easter, our show. The Russians are making the Russian Rosneft Oil Consortium. It's a cartel. It's a non-dollar oil cartel that fills the vacuum because OPEC is largely dead. OPEC is now being, I think, predominantly run in policy by the Kremlin of Russia. They're making deals and saying, well, let's limit output a little bit. Let's get the price up because we all need it. And by the way, we're going to guarantee a certain portion of your output that Russia will buy, even though we're a producer. Figure that out. Russia is buying oil to create the cartel and consortium pool, and Russia will manage the contamination level, viscosity level, and all that, and sell it all outside the dollar, so that Saudi and Venezuela can say, we're not selling oil outside the dollar. We're selling it to the Russians, and they're selling it outside the dollar. We've got production channels that go through Rosneft. Okay, this is all coming about because of the GOR, gold, oil, RMB, contracts of Shanghai, and the volume is soaring. It's something like 10 times now. I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but the Shanghai oil RMB, the petro yuan contract, is something like 10 times the volume that it had in its first week.
Yep.
And the Iran situation, oh gosh, is that ever gnarly. I don't know how much we want to discuss that, but
well, it's a part of it. It's definitely leading, a part. Yeah.
It's leading to a lot of countries saying, we're going to get on with this petro yuan to make sure we don't have any interruption in our contracts and payments.
Right.
It's like everything the United States is doing now is pushing the nations toward the East and bringing about greater cohesion among the Eastern nations toward the development of the Eurasian trade zone. It's getting so weird now that even Europe is saying all the oil we're buying from Iran, we're going to pay for in euros. Mm-hmm. That's what Saddam Hussein did in Iraq.
Yep.
So this is getting very gnarly. Now, the second I mentioned, you know, the Saudis, et cetera, selling oil, and the Asians, et cetera, buying oil outside the dollar, paying for it in RMB. There's a second big consequence that I think is going to bring about a big event soon, a follow-on event to the GOR contracts of Shanghai, and that is the launch of the gold trade note, a gold-based equity leveraged instrument for guaranteeing a shipment. And I think it's going to be used for oil. In other words, you're going to have oil payments done with a gold-backed instrument. Woo! Talk about putting a stake in the heart of the petrodollar. That's a golden stake in the heart of the petrodollar.
You've talked about that for years, too.
Yeah, and I think it's coming. And when the GOR was completed for its triangle of the gold and oil and RMB, I sent messages to The Voice and tried to stir up a conversation. And there was some general agreement without any kind of pounding of the table. There was a general agreement that the GOR futures contracts will serve as the foundation for the gold trade note. And then you had a few weeks ago, like, you don't know exactly, but early April or so, there was some announcements and stirrings about the BRICS gold exchange or the gold market, the BRICS gold market. I don't know the exact name that they're using, but basically the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. I really think South Africa is the smallest dog in the kennel there. The BRICS are developing a gold exchange, a gold market, a gold, I don't know what to call it. Exchange is a common word, but, you know, a place where you buy gold. And I think that the BRICS are going to eventually let it be known that the BRICS Development Bank, what's this BRICS Development Bank developing? They're not developing jack shit, Craig. The Belt and Road is developing. The Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, is developing. The BRICS Development Bank has gone into hiding, and I think it's going to reemerge as the agency for setting up BRICS gold purchases, dumping treasuries, euro bonds, UK gilts, and Japanese bonds.
Hey,
I think it's going to be a clearinghouse for buying gold. I don't dismiss this BRICS gold exchange that was highlighted a little over a month ago.
Those are the two big events. Jim, let me just stick this stat in there real quick for everybody. Everybody knows gold's Russia's adding about 600,000 ounces of gold to their foreign currency reserves every month. Pretty consistently. They're now up to $96 billion in U.S. treasuries in their foreign currency reserves, but they're now up to $81 billion in gold. How about that?
So almost as much gold as U.S. treasuries, which they are, you know, dumping. They dumped their treasuries to help out their own currency, the ruble. And they've been doing that for 3 years. It's just getting so gnarly. When anybody ever mentions official gold reserves, there's part of me inside that does a little giggling. The Russians are talking about, 1,500 tons of gold? Or I don't have the exact figure. But
about 1,900 now.
1,900 tons of gold, okay. But what about their other 27,000 tons?
Yeah, no shit.
You know, that's why I do a little giggling inside, and you know, you did a very outward giggling.
Well, and I threw you off. You had mentioned that. So with those two points, I kind of broke your stream of consciousness there. So
no,
please continue.
But you've got the Chinese also. The Chinese talk about their PBOC reserves for gold, but do they ever mention what the SAFE?
Yeah.
Their sovereign wealth fund. Do they ever mention how much gold is in that?
Yeah.
Because it's holding $2 trillion. You think maybe a quarter of that is gold? Mm-hmm. Or do you think they wasted all on sovereign Western debt instruments?
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't think so. And then they got another smaller sovereign wealth fund, and I got a lot of different little slips of paper on the wall, and my eyes are coursing through them right now. I don't know exactly the names of these funds. It's like CI something. Anyway, the Chinese have two funds. One is SAFE. The other one is smaller. And I know that SAFE is way more than a trillion and probably closer to 2 trillion. And most of the Arab sovereign wealth funds are a big fat lie right now.
What do you mean?
Well, for instance, I did a count on sovereign wealth funds way back when Ukraine was in the news every single stinking day.
Yeah.
2014. I just included, I made a table in the Hattrick letter. I said, here are the major sovereign wealth funds, and I am dead certain that there is gold in them, and it's not publicized. And I pointed out how much SAFE had for China. Their two together were over a couple trillion. The United Arab Emirates had about 5 sovereign wealth funds. You know, they're United Emirates, which means they're united big bunch of very wealthy
kingdoms,
Arab royals.
Fiefdoms, yeah.
Yeah, little fiefdoms banded together, and they call it UAE. Well, add up all the UAE, and it was over 2 trillion. And then I talk with The Voice once in a while that says, Jim, you know, given the lower oil price and given the constant funding that UAE and the Saudis had for the Yemen war, the UAE is very close to broke. I said, what? 2 trillion and they're broke? And he said, well, it's hard to describe and be clear about, but think of it as 5 different fiefdoms, as you call them. And some of the money within each fiefdom was lost because of oil revenue declines and steady costs. You know, a good prescription for losing out is having steady costs and lower income. Okay, then they had the cost from the war in Yemen, but he said a very big other piece is they're moving cartloads and truckloads of money to London and Europe. I said, they're preparing for an implosion. He said, yeah. Hmm. Okay, so these Arab wealth funds are largely gone.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, look at what happened within Saudi Arabia. Look at all of the regional instability. Dollars are hightailing it out of there. They're moving
out
of there.
The Saudis decided to arrest 100 royals and big businessmen to shake them down and get their loyalty. And big point, and to remove some of the corruption that drains the Saudi treasury and corruption for narco trafficking with the Bushes. Bandar Bush is their agent. Okay, I don't think Prince Salman was very successful in that initiative.
But nonetheless,
there's still the drain from for the same 3 reasons. The war is costly, the oil price is down, and they're moving truckloads of money to London and Europe. Okay, the Saudis are preparing for an implosion along with the UAE. These are formerly kingpin Arab wealthy states.
Right.
Okay. I think some of the money that's leaving is being converted because they see the writing on the wall. They're not stupid. They may be corrupt, but they're not stupid. They may be perverted, but they're not dumb. They're going to convert some of the money that's in flight into gold. And ironically, one place where a tremendous amount of Arab gold is hiding is Deutsche Bank.
Mm-hmm.
UBS and Credit Suisse were made villains and were prosecuted against with a hidden ulterior motive that was very dastardly. The United States cooperated together in collusion in order to steal as much Arab gold in those two banks for their bullion center banks. The Saudis saw it coming, other Arabs saw it happening, and they moved their money, they moved their gold from Switzerland to France. It did not stay there for very long because they realized the United States runs France out of Langley. So they moved it all that wasn't stolen to Deutsche Bank. Now, remember, Lehman Brothers was killed. It did not just fail.
Right.
J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs had significant, like billion-dollar purchases of mortgage bonds.
Yeah.
And they never paid for them.
And they killed it.
They killed them. They suffocated like putting a bag over their head in a group of all the mortgage bond managers of Wall Street. And let's put a bag over Lehman's head, suffocate their asses, take over AIG, give ourselves 100 cents on the dollar for the credit default swaps, and let's just take over the U.S. government finance center in a big way, create the TARP funds. What a crime scene.
Yeah.
Point I'm making is that we're likely to see something in parallel.
With
Deutsche Bank, yeah. To try to steal the Arab gold as one motive, to try to create a black hole of derivatives and blame it on Europe. They're still complaining. I just read a report about a shareholder meeting with the executives of Deutsche Bank, and they're thinking of getting rid of the most recent replacement at CEO. And there was a whole paragraph. They have still not fully absorbed the cost and integration in operations of Bankers Trust. That was 1998.
Oh, my gosh.
So not only did Wall Street ship out Bankers Trust, they forced Deutsche Bank to buy it at an exorbitant price so they could offshore, without regulatory oversight, the derivatives, that Wall Street would continue to manage.
Yeah, right.
This is a very ugly story unfolding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, Deutsche Bank owns, I think, a good deal of Italian government bonds.
Mm.
All the German banks own a good swipe of Italian government bonds.
Yeah, they do.
Shall we try to migrate, transition into Italy here? Craig, why don't you...
I do want to ask you one thing before we go there, and then, we'll try to wrap this up into a neat package for everybody. But where do you think the Turkey situation fits in? Because not only did Turkey not need 7 years like the Germans allegedly needed, or at least claimed they needed, to repatriate their gold from the New York Fed. I mean, Turkey got it all out. Now, granted, the lira has been collapsing, but where does Turkey fit in this whole de-dollarization thing? Can you address that too? And then we'll kind of go get back to the Italian banks and put it all back together.
Oh, boy. Turkey? Yeah, I know. I'll do a creditable job here. Turkey, what is Turkey's recent history with respect to, assisting countries that are under attack for their dollar?
They were the conduit for Iran to transact selling crude oil in gold. When all those sanctions were on so heavy two or three years ago.
To India. Yeah. Okay. So Turkey was a main player and possibly an organizer with maybe Russian advisors behind the scene for the Iranian sale of oil to India with payments with Turkish gold.
There you go.
Beautiful. Okay. What about the sanctions, Jim? Well, the Obama administration was a bunch of half-wits, and they decided that they would set up the sanctions and declare that the Central Bank of Iran could not engage in any kind of international trade for oil payments. Okay, fine. So the big Iranian banks did. Yeah, that's a pretty easy workaround,
yep.
Barry.
Yep.
Okay, the Obama administration was full of idiots and corrupt fools. All the foreign policy was failure. All the Bush 2 foreign policy was a failure. Everything since 9/11 has been a failure in keeping with foreign policy track record of fascist states. Okay, Turkey. They have a millennium of history in the gold trade.
Right.
When the Ottoman Empire fell, it did not fall from lack of gold.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
It fell from outsourcing their military and weapon functions. It failed from not having adequate educational system. It failed for not having the ability to supply itself properly as an economy. Okay, that's a typical trait for a lot of Muslim nations. Just look at the Saudi. Do they outsource their protection? Well, yeah, Israel secretly is in charge, but American U.S. weapons are very much involved. Do they have a diverse economy where they can provide all they need for their economy? Not in the slightest. They try. Okay, so Turkey is a ringleader in the gold trade. I'm surprised they don't join the BRICS. The Turks are going to be very important in setting up a gold exchange. I think they might be the supplier and conduit for any kind of a BRICS gold exchange for converting treasuries and euro bonds, etc. Okay, the Turks are very skilled in the gold trade. They also happen to be very skilled in the narcotics trade, and that might be going away as a key role with their NATO base that's not being run by NATO anymore. Okay, let's just add that under our breath. By the way, if in Incirlik base of Turkey is not the main conduit for Afghan heroin produced under U.S. government military auspices, where is the U.S. heroin going from Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Answer is easy, very easy. German Rammstein NATO base, Italian Aviano NATO base. Let's move on. The Turks are big in gold and always have been.
Correct.
This goes back 1,000 years. Okay, I think they're going to play a role. I think Putin and the Kremlin have given some marching orders. Support us in stabilizing Syria. We, Russia, will make sure the Kurds don't screw up your whole plans. The Kurds of Iraq. Well, you know, they slide over into Iran too. Anyway, and the other marching order from Putin is, we're going to call on you, Erdogan. I don't pronounce it properly. You do. I don't care about the correct pronunciation. Putin is going to call on the president of Turkey to move forward with whatever marching orders Russia has in mind, coordinated with China, toward unseating the dollar and moving toward the gold standard in multiple steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whenever I talk with The Voice and we get to the gold standard and the paradigm shift and all that, I make a point in saying, can you delineate any more of the steps because there's so many? Because he's always saying this is an event schedule. We've got 3 or 4 or 5 very important steps that are already in place, already implemented. They just need more volume and integration. I think an upcoming step will be Turkey involved in perhaps their own gold market, perhaps the BRICS gold exchange. We don't even know where the BRICS gold exchange is going to be. It should, by definition, be in a BRICS country, but that only leaves India, in my opinion, because they got close proximity to Turkey. I think Turkey is going to be the center of the BRICS gold exchange.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
Yes. Now, furthermore, if there's ever a gold trade note that sits atop the GOR triangle in Shanghai for gold, oil, RMB. I think the Turks will be an important player in that, not to provide the gold, but to make sure of its arrival. In other words, they're not going to sell Turkish gold to make this happen. They're going to acquire the gold and pass it along and maintain their own Turkish gold reserves. By the way, the Turkish lira currency is in turmoil. It's being battered. Nothing is battered as bad as the Venezuelan bolivar currency. But the Turkish currency, Craig, I don't have the exact figures. It's down significantly, like way over 50% in the last several years.
Makes you wonder especially here in just the last couple of weeks, it makes you wonder if they're not being is attacked too strong of a term by New York-based financial interests for their unwillingness to continue playing ball.
Yes, but Turkey's doing something that makes that process very easy for Goldman Sachs. Turkey is not raising their interest rate to defend their currency because they know that will harm their economy even more. And that whole harm of the economy and Turkish lira decline began when they shut down the Russian aircraft. Turkey has not recovered since that event. They've all made nice, but they've not recovered either in currency or economy. The Turkish hotel resorts are still not very well populated. The Russian tourists are coming back, but everything is slow. The economy stinks, and their currency is getting hit more and more.
Yeah.
Now, would it be a shock if Turkey announced a new lira currency that was gold-backed?
I just talked about that with Max Kaiser last week, and that's what we talked about. And it would be the smartest thing that they could do, which means they probably won't do it, but certainly could see where they'd be thinking about it.
Now, who are the best candidates in the global community of nations for creating a gold-backed currency, except for those countries undergoing a severe currency crisis that hits their own economy?
Well, I'd say that takes us back to Italy, because you could make the case that they are a candidate if they wanted to run a parallel currency to the euro.
Well, that's true, but also Venezuela.
Well, Well, for whatever gold they have
left.
Even
more so. Even more so.
Whatever they have left. Hey, Jim, let's do this. Okay. As you know, I apologize to everybody, but I have a little time constraint myself. But I wanted to address Turkey, and I wanted, you know, because I do see that, as you do, as kind of a part of the bigger structure.
I think you mean Italy.
I wanted to get the Turkey thing addressed. But now I want to go back to Italy, and let's just use this, and let's wrap up with this, because I think by the time we speak again in 6 weeks at the 4th of July, it'll be very interesting to see how this situation has evolved. At present, the Italian bank situation is unraveling and getting worse by the day. Even the Spanish banks are getting involved again. We're talking about the pigs, just like we were 5 years ago. As you mentioned, Deutsche Bank is down here at $12 a share, threatening to make new all-time lows. Again, down from 160 10 years ago.
Jim, it'll be single digits in a matter of a couple or 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, that's what we're thinking, you know, before
it's
the 4th of July.
It's a great short.
Yeah,
a
by the 4th of July. Short. And so anyway, let's just, in the final
couple. What about Italy? Get specific.
In the final couple of minutes, I'll just let you tie that, you know, what might the world look like in just 6 weeks from now with the deterioration in Italy, how this impacts all of the Italian banks, specifically if you want Deutsche Bank, and I guess how this, you know, what's going to be the impact as we move forward.
Okay, one of the big trigger events that I see as a potential for causing tremendous disruption, and I've got a rather long list that includes London Metals Exchange and flourishing non-dollar platforms, Saudi oil sales and RMB, Germans flipping east, Deutsche Bank failure, CIPS competing with SWIFT, BRICS gold platform, if that's the name they're using, gold platform, launch the gold trade, all these things. One of them is the Italian banking system collapse. You could argue that in the last 2 years, there have been some very close calls toward that defined collapse, like bank runs, creation of cocoa bonds, bondholder haircuts, bail-ins, emergency measures by the EC, Euro Central Bank. Okay, now in response to all that crisis, Italians have come up with something very clever. They call it a sovereign currency. It's not competitive to the lira for their economy. It is a substitute for high-level banking payments, like to cover the Italian government debt, to reimburse big banks who own Italian government debt, like bonds. This sovereign currency is now being given a name of the mini-bot, B-O-T, and its description and its introduction, like a debutante ball, is causing all the little ugly ladies in the corner to leave the room, namely their bonds. Okay, you introduce the mini-bot that looks better and all the competitors look worse. So that's causing a bond crisis that I outlined in the May Hattrick letter in the form of increasing spreads for the Italian government bonds versus the German Bund, mm-hmm. and a rising short-term Italian bond yield. But, you know, when you're under 1% and you're moving up and you're still under 1%, I yawn. The Italian government bond was way over 5% a few years ago. And then the European Central Bank started buying it.
Right.
So a very big holder of Italian government debt is the Euro Central Bank, along with the German banks. And I think the Germans have been dumping some of their Italian government bonds onto the Euro Central Bank balance sheet. It's getting very getting very intertwined and very, very unruly, very disorganized. We're getting chaos entering the Italian financial sector. My impression of this sovereign currency for Italy is it's a precursor for devaluation and a launch of the new lira currency. But this is extraordinarily complicated, more complicated than I thought 2 years ago. I had to learn a few things, but the euro currency is really a weighted currency of several, like 13 of them. Mm-hmm. And if the Italians back out, if the Greeks back out, if they both back out together, the euro currency will have to be redefined in a Continental Congress. You can't have one or two exit and the rest just saying, oh, that's no big deal. We'll right. just pick up their percentages on a, you know, a nice ratio basis. It's not going to be like that. It's like breaking a limited partnership to leave, and you got to rewrite the contract. I think we're going to see some issues forced by Greece and Italy. Italy is openly saying, we're not going to let happen to our country what you did to Greece. And that was austerity plans,
right?
Bank bail-ins, ruin of major corporations, foreign acquisition, carpetbagging of foreign of their big corporations, sell off of their key jewel port facilities. Italy's not going to do that. What are they going to do? They're going to sell their churches? Are they going to sell the Spanish Steps?
The art.
I'd like to see them sell off half the Vatican.
It'd be funny. For sale, this fresco from Raphael.
you know, the Vatican could bail out Italy. That's what's so funny.
Yeah.
But the Vatican's got their own problems, and I'm hearing that the fascist pope might be on the way out as part of some new deal. This is getting very weird.
Causing his own problems, yeah.
Regarding Italy, I think Greece and Italy are going to force pigs crisis redux.
Yeah, yeah. And that looks to be the story of the summer. I think that's where we're headed, Jim. I mean, it'll probably ebb and flow, but that's not something that was on anybody's radar as 2018 began. It's kind of like what I talk about here at TFMR all the time. Right now, everybody just thinks the Fed's just going to keep on hiking and everything's great. They're going to trim their balance sheet back to a trillion. No. The Fed's in a corner, and they're going to stop hiking the Fed funds rate. They indicated that this week, and nobody's planning that into their assumptions about where things like the dollar and gold are going. And so anyway, this thing with the European banks how that impacts the euro, how that by extension impacts the dollar, not only in the short term, but in the long term. And it's going to be the big story. And that's why I thought in our limited amount of time today, this would be a really good, I guess, kind of way bring everybody up to speed, get them thinking about this stuff, but also set the table for our next discussion in about 6 weeks.
Well, let me correct you on something. Sure. You said nobody had it on the radar. And at the turn of the year, I specifically had Italy on the radar.
Well, I wasn't talking about you and I. I'm talking about financial press and the big sell side banks and people like that.
Well, I did not specifically have Pigs Crisis Redux on my radar.
No, nobody was talking about that.
But I did in my own mind think that if Italy and Greece caused severe disruptions, that it would spread to Spain, that's been doing accounting shenanigans and trying to avoid the banking impact. They don't mark to the market on their bad loans like the home loans and mortgages. They don't have mortgage bonds. They just have mortgage portfolios, and they're not marked to the market. They don't have the losses integrated. And I think that's coming if Italy, continues to kick over the table.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what.
Now here's an impact, though. Quick, just 10 seconds. The impact is, whatever happens bad for pigs, in particular Italy, it's going to lift the dollar.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the dollar might buy time with a pigs crisis.
Right.
And that's where I think we're going to see the summer, the dollar finding refuge all over the place, emerging market crisis, more movement into the dollar.
And this doesn't mean that gold's going to go down. I mean, there's still – that just increases the demand for actual physical gold when you have currency crises like this, especially the second most popular, second largest currency in the world, the euro. And we have a recent history of this with Brexit, gold and the dollar rising together. So I don't want anybody leaving here thinking, oh, well, if the dollar's going to rally over the next 6 weeks, gold is doomed. It's not.
Well, let me address this. You think the dollar and gold will both go up together? That would be a very serious event.
They have in the past. We've seen it in the past. So it wouldn't be unprecedented.
It would only happen if you see Wall Street covering their shorts and, commitment of traders is indicating something in that direction. But I think we're going to see some very significant gold events that indicate that the dollar dominion, petrodollar, king dollar, and its court. I call it the king dollar court and its terrorism. I think we're going to see a summer of major transitions favoring gold.
Precisely.
I'm looking for the gold trade note to be introduced. I'm looking for a couple other very important things. I think some crisis in certain individual nations will see a gold solution, because they're in such crisis.
Right.
I'm talking about Venezuela, Italy, and Turkey.
Turkey, yep.
Turkey is a mess.
Right.
Now, sure, they've taken position under the arm of the Kremlin with Putin. And they got Turkish Stream coming on. But there's no revenue. There's just some construction of Turkish Stream to work around Ukraine. All right, you got to go, Craig. Thanks for having me on. And I hope people go to www.goldenjackass.com and there's a lot of free material in there. Bounce around. Sign up for the newsletter. You will not be disappointed. And, it's a labor of love. And now it's a very challenging task, figuring out where this is all heading, finding what the minefields are to avoid.
And again, no doubt. I mean, as I said at the beginning, you and I could probably talk about this for another couple hours. If you want to continue this discussion, in a sense, not you, Jim, I mean everybody listening, you got to go to goldenjackass.com and sign up for the hat trick letter. And then you will continue this discussion. You'll continue to hear more about this in the next 6 weeks as we approach the summer of love, my friend. It's going to be a wild one. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see where we are at the 4th of July. And then where we are again at Labor Day at the end of the summer. My goodness gracious. I don't think we can make any definitive statements about how it's going to look. It's going to be a wild 90 days. So at halftime, we'll talk again in about 6 weeks. And I very
Sounds
much look
good.
Forward to it. All right?
All right. Let me just mention quickly, the two favorite compliments I have are, I left the newsletter, but now I'm back. I wish I never left.
Yep.
The other one is I've been relying on the freebie podcast, and now I signed up. I wish I had long ago. Now I've got a third compliment. I made a cancellation 3 months ago. I changed my mind. I cannot live without this.
That's right.
I got three of them this week, Craig.
That's fantastic. Well, again, that speaks to the quality of your work, Jim, and it speaks to the fact that so few people are connecting the dots and putting the puzzle pieces together. And if you're alert, if you're awake, if you're sharp and paying attention, man, the hat trick letter is required reading. So I want everybody to check it out. And then I want everybody to have a relaxing weekend. Be ready on Monday and Tuesday for about anything to come through the month of June. And then, Jim, I look forward to talking to you again in about 6 weeks.
Okay, this is not going to be a holiday for hot dogs and pizza. Let's just remember that.
That's right. All right, Jim, thank you so much. And, again, thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.